The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Thank you, choir. Jordan, I love Jordan. He is a blessing to our church and ministry. 58, well, yeah, give him a hand. We're trying to keep him a secret because some big church is going to come along and say, why don't you come over and play in our field? 58 years ago, a small private plane crashed in a cornfield in Iowa. And on that plane was the rock and roll pioneer Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper. In 1971, Don McLean wrote a classic song that immortalized Buddy Holly and that tragedy. Listen.
And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I delivered. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died.
Now, I have some allergies, and I can't sing this all real well, but you know the chorus. Sing it, all right? Come on, sing it out. There you go. You guys got it. Okay, we probably ought to stop it about right there. I just wanted to see how many of you good Baptists would say them good old boys drinking whiskey and rye. I'm not even sure you're supposed to do that in church, all right? I love that song. I remember when the album came out. I had just graduated from high school. I can even remember the cover of the vinyl. We call them vinyls now. We used to call them albums, but they're vinyls now. And I remember, you know, him, and he had his face painted. He had the American flag on there. Bye-bye, Miss American Pie. We all know the chorus, but when you start looking at the words of that song, it's kind of depressing. You know, he says in the song, he said, you know, I just wanted, he says, I think if I had a chance, I could make the people dance. In other words, they're not dancing, they're kind of sad. And then it says, with every paper I delivered, bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step the day the music died. You know, what he's saying is that in that cornfield in 1959, the music died. I got to thinking about this week, the music. He says, I can't remember if I cried, but I know it touched me deep inside the day the music died. And the reason I thought about that this week is because I think that we all have a song. Now, we sing it in different ways, and we sing it with different melodies, and we sing it from different perspectives, but God has given us all a song. He's given us a song, and that's what makes us totally alive. You see, I think the song that God gives us is what we're passionate about. It's what brings us to life. Our song is what makes us really, really want to live. And sometimes our songs are just turned up full volume. Mary and I went to see our son's band perform at the Hard Rock in San Diego and then at the Hard Rock in downtown Disney a while back. Now, it's not really my kind of music, and they're certainly not my crowd because they're not my age. But we got into the Hard Rock there, and we got up into the balcony, particularly the one in Disney. We were in the balcony, and we were looking down on the main floor, and here's all these kids down there. And I look up on stage, and there's my son Christopher, and he's behind the drum shield playing his drums. And by the time we got 30 minutes into that concert or 40 minutes into that concert, that kid is just soaking wet. His hair is plastered to his forehead. And they are singing with passion, and the kids are jumping up and down and yelling and trying to dance and do all the things they are. And you know, I have to admit to you, I looked at my boy, especially knowing where he had been in his life, because his song has not always been played loud. Sometimes his song died, and he nearly died. But I watched him on that stage. I thought, he's alive. He's alive. And then had the same experience with my older boy in the backyard. Oh, no music, no drums, no Hard Rock Cafe. But he was with his son. And they were throwing the ball back and forth, trying to keep it away from Bella the dog. I have a new grand dog, Bella. And she is insane. And she loves her ball. And Michael threw that ball toward Colton, and there goes Bella, man. I mean, she's only got one speed, and it's as fast as she can run. And that ball gets to Colton just about the time Bella got to Colton, and she took his feet out from under him, knocked him flat on his face. And I watched Michael, and I watched Colton, and they're laughing, and I thought, they're singing their song. They're singing their song. And when life is good, we sing those songs. We've all had days like days when it was just great and our song is turned up full volume. But then sometimes we have days where we feel like Don McLean and the music has died. And maybe we've lost hope, and maybe some of you feel that way today, that your song is dying out in your life. Maybe you feel like you've lost your song. I know circumstances in life make us feel hopeless at times, a job change or a transition, or maybe it's a marriage, or maybe it's a school, maybe it's a change in a relationship. Maybe feeling hopeless about the future because you're not certain what's going to happen out there. Feel uncertain about your health, and all of a sudden you begin to lose that song of hope. I want to turn your attention this morning to Psalm 61, because David understood this. He said, I call as my heart grows faint. In other words, he says, my song is dying out. And look what he says. When my song is dying out, here's what I do. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. Jacob is not with us today. They were expecting their eighth child, and the baby was delivered stillborn on Thursday. They know what it's like for the song to die, and some of you do as well. And if yours isn't, and yours is playing full volume, you probably know somebody whose song has died. I want us to take a moment and pray for them, and then ask God to speak to our hearts about how not only we can be encouraged, but we can encourage others in their song as well. Would you bow with me and let's pray? God, today I thank you that you are the rock that is so much higher than I am. So many times, Lord, I find myself depending on things that are temporary, but I pray that you would help us to build our lives on the solid rock, that we would get back to you. God, you are the classic rock that is higher than we are. Help us to remember our song of hope and bring it alive in our heart in such a way that we would sing it at the top of our lungs. God, we're getting ready for Easter. We want to give hope to people around us. So let us find our song, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. David said, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." I'm glad there is that rock, the solid rock, Jesus Christ. Because when my song seems to die out, I can go back to that classic rock that Jesus said is the song of hope. But sometimes we do lose hope. I want to talk to you about three things this morning that we need to do when our song is gone. Number one, we need to remember the song of hope that Jesus gives us. You know, Jesus gives us a song of hope. And when I'm in a hopeless or a helpless situation, I need to begin to listen to His song of hope. Look what it says in Psalm 118. That song, Psalms is just an Old Testament word for song. And it says, "I was pushed back and about to fall." In other words, my song was dying out, but the Lord helped me. And look what he says, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." You ought to underline or circle those words, "my song." Because when the feelings of hopelessness come in, I need to remember that God gives a song in the middle of the problem. That God gives us a song to sing in the middle of his darkest nights. And what I need to do is turn back to classic rock that is higher than me and listen to his song of hope. Because God always sings a song of hope. He sings to me the song, "Michael, I love you. Michael, I'm going to see you through. Michael, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Michael, you can always count on me. I created you. I stretched out these hands and I died for you. Michael, I will never let you go." I think one of the greatest songs that God sings, one of my most favorite in the scripture, is Jeremiah 29, when he says, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans of good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And when I lose my hope and I need some help, I need to listen and remember this song that God has given me. When I feel hopeless, when I don't see what God's up to, when I don't understand what God's doing, God says, "Even though you can't see it right now, I have a plan for you. And it is a plan for good. And it is a plan to give you a future and a hope. No matter what's going on around me right now, God has a plan that is good for my life. There is no problem that can come into my life that can change God's good plan." Now, in my life right now, it may not look good. I may not be able to see what God is doing. You know, I may not be hearing my song right now. I may try to sing that song in my heart and not be able to get it out. But God says, "Listen, rest assured, I have a good plan for you. And there is no problem, no stress, no pressure, nor pain that can come into your life that will change God's plan for you." You see, what I find in my life is I get busy listening to the other voices instead of listening to his song. I get busy listening to the voices of stress. I get busy and I listen to the voices that are confusing, or the voices that make me anxious, give me anxiety or fear. God says, what you need to do is turn back to the classic rock channel and get back to the solid rock, Jesus. I challenge you, if your song is not playing at full volume, if you can't hear your song, tune in. Listen to him sing that still, small voice. I've been reading in Kings this week, and I was reminded of Elijah. And Elijah had that mighty battle of the gods up on Mount Carmel. 400 prophets of Baal, the priests of Ashtaroth, false priests, both of them. And Elijah just watches them and finally says, "Okay, enough, it's my turn." And he prays. And he says, "God, I mean, listen, you want to talk about a boy whose song was playing at full volume. You get up there on Mount Carmel with Elijah, because his song is going. He, the prophets of Baal, they're cutting themselves. They're yelling. And he's over there saying, call a little bit louder. Maybe he's on vacation. That's literally what he said. At one point he says, hey, maybe your God had to go relieve himself. Oh, Elijah's song was playing full blast. And finally he says, enough. And the Bible says he told him to go get four big old cisterns of water and pour it on the altar and then do it again, because if your God can't burn wet wood, you ain't got no God. And he prays, and he doesn't say, God, show them how big I am. He says, God, so that they will know you are the God of Israel, consume it. And the Bible says fire fell, and Elijah's song was going full blast. And they chased the prophets of Baal, and they did away with them. And then all of a sudden, he got a text. He looks at his phone, and it's from Jezebel. And it says, Elijah. Basically, here's what it says, my interpretation. By this time tomorrow, if you're not dead, I will be. She's saying, I'd just soon kill myself if I can't kill you. And man, you talk about a guy whose song died. I mean, it's been playing at full volume. He's been up there harassing the prophets of Baal. He slays the prophets of Baal. And now all of a sudden, he's listening to a different voice. Fear and anxiety and confusion. You see, he comes off that altar victorious. And now all of a sudden, the queen, the mean queen, says, I'm going to kill you before sundown tomorrow. And the song, he's saying, God, what happened? God, we had victory. God, I did what you said. And now he starts running for his life. And he goes and he meets God. And God just says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Now, God knew why I was there, but I think it's God's way of saying, Elijah, I didn't tell you to come here. You're not listening to my voice. You've been listening to the other voices, and here you are. And God basically says, so Elijah, you need to listen to me. And the Bible says there was a big, fierce wind, and then there was an earthquake, and then there was fire, but God wasn't in any of them. When did God speak to him? The still, small voice. I think that's God's way of saying, oh, listen, you're going to have the wind of chaos, and you're going to have the earthquake that's going to shake your foundation, and you're going to have the fire that burns the hair on your chinny chin chin, but you're going to find me in the song. And if you're not spending time with him, if you're not in his word, if you're not studying his word, meditating on his word, being encouraged by his word, studying his word with others, then you are not remembering that song. You're listening to the other voices. And he says, nope. It's not going to be in the chaos. It's going to be in the quiet. The second thing, I sing the song of hope when I don't hear the music. You know a common, ordinary dog whistle. Those dog whistles that you give to a kid and that kid blows on that whistle and he can't hear anything. He keeps blowing and blowing, and every dog in the neighborhood's going, ah, because their ears are hurting. But you can't hear a thing. Your ears are probably hurting now. I might not ought to do that in the next service. Sometimes God's spirit just works in you and you have to go ahead and let it out, all right? Sometimes in my life, I feel like the music is just in notes too high for me to hear. I feel like sometimes the spiritual element is just out of my hearing. But that doesn't mean that God is not singing it. And so the Bible says that I need to sing my song of hope even if I don't hear the music. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. That means that I need to thank God and I need to praise God through the problems even though I don't feel like it, even though I can't hear the music, even though it seems like the music has died in my life, that if I thank God and I praise God and I trust God, I am singing the song of hope even though I can't hear the music. The Bible gives us an instance of this. Paul and Silas were in Philippi and they were preaching the gospel. Their song was cranked up, preaching the gospel of Jesus. And the Bible says the authorities got them and took them and beat them bloody and threw them in jail. The song died, or you think it'd die. Because if I was sitting in that prison, what I'd be thinking is, God, I'm hurting. I need some Advil. I need some Tylenol. I need something. It hurts, God. And we were just doing what you said. God, I've been falsely accused. I was following your plan. What happened? Where are you? I don't get it. It's unfair. That's what I'd have been doing. But what were Paul and Silas doing? It says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and doing what? Singing songs to God as other prisoners listened. They could not hear the music. They couldn't hear the music, but they are still singing the song of hope. They are in pain. I don't think they could hear a note of the song, but they're going to sing anyway. When we say, God, I don't understand what you're doing. And when we say, God, I don't know where this is going, but I know you and I know who you are, and you have a plan for me, for a future and for a hope. And so right now, I'm going to sing that song even though I can't hear the music. Friend, no problem, no person, no prison, no anxiety, no depression can take away that song of hope. It's there, but we've got to sing it. When I praise God, when I thank God in the prison of hopelessness, He opens up the door. When you begin to sing that song, even if you can't hear the music, even in the darkest night, you show faith and God acts. The Bible says in Acts 16, Paul and Silas have been singing their song. Suddenly there was a strong earthquake that shook the foundation of the jail, and all of the doors of the jail broke open and the prisoners were freed from their chains. So here they are singing their song at hope at midnight. They're praising God, thanking God. And what does God do? He opens the door of the prison. That prison shakes. It is the original jailhouse rock, right? I mean, God opens the door. And here's what's beautiful about that. It didn't start on the outside. The earthquake didn't happen first. What happened first? Started on the inside. Started on the inside with them singing, even though they couldn't hear the music. God, you have a plan. You have a future. You have a hope. We're just going to trust you in the middle of all this. Anxiety and fear raining down all around them, but they're singing the song of hope that nobody could take away, and God opens the prison doors. Man, I don't know if you're in a prison today of fear or confusion or uncertainty or depression or making a big decision, or you feel like the walls are closing in, but I'm telling you, there is a song of hope, and it is the key that sets us free. In the middle of the problems, folks, in the middle of the problems, our God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Bible says that He is a solid rock. He is a solid rock. He's the one thing I can count on. Sometimes we lose hope. We lose hope for a couple of reasons. Sometimes we lose hope because of our failure. I'll tell you what, I wish I was not so human. And I wish I had my act together. But sometimes in my failure, I feel so distant from God. Failure can squash my song quicker than anything. And I know why. I know why that my own personal failure squeezes out my song. And it's this. I have a hard time grasping the concept of grace. I just can't quite get that God loving me is not based upon what I do. It's based upon who He is. And let me tell you why I wrestle with that. I wrestle with that because I have an ego. I wrestle with that because I want God to feel like he got a pretty good deal when he saved me. I want God to look down from heaven and say, see, I want him to do for me what he did with Job, but I don't want him talking to the devil about me. What did God say about Job? He says, hey, have you considered my boy Job down there? I want God to look and say, have you considered my boy Michael down there? Now, I think God says that. But I think when he says, have you considered my son Michael down there? He's saying, why did I send my son for him? He is messing up. See, that's what I think. Because I have a hard time grasping the gospel of grace. And I need to remember, when I lose my hope because of my failure, my performance, when I lose my hope because I feel like I have totally messed up, that God's grace has nothing to do with my performance, God's love for me will never change. And he does not quit singing his song of hope into my heart even when I fail. And it is amazing to me how God does that. When Buddy Holly died in that cornfield in 1959, he had not sold hardly any records. Do you know that? He was a rising teenage idol, but he was not a teenage idol yet. The Big Bopper had not sold hardly any. Richie Valens was in that too. He hadn't sold. All three of them were on the rise as teen idols in this new rock and roll. But none of them had sold any records. You know what happened with Buddy Holly? That plane crash made him famous. They could not press enough of his records, albums, vinyl, to keep on the shelves. And all of a sudden, Buddy Holly became popular in Europe, particularly in England. And there were a couple of young kids in England. One of them by the name of John Lennon. And one of them by the name of George Harrison that started learning to play the guitar, listening to Buddy Holly's music. Now, some of you kids will have to ask your folks who this group was, but they went on and formulated a group called the Beatles. You see, Buddy Holly did more after he died than he ever did while he was alive. God is saying, your song is not going to end. Some of you think the music's died in your heart once and for all. And I want you to know the greatest days are out there in front of you. We don't just lose our hope because of failure. I lose my hope sometimes because I have to wait. And I don't like to wait. And if you're waiting on God today, keep waiting. Friday, I had a memorial service for a young woman in her 50s. She'd been battling cancer. And we talked about this passage from Isaiah, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. How does that happen? How do you fly like an eagle? You wait on the Lord. In closing, let me say one more thing. I not only need to remember my song of hope, and I not only need to sing it when I can't hear the music, I need to share my song of hope with some other people. As I said, your song may be going full blast today, but do you know the greatest need in the people of the world around us is hope? Easter is coming. Easter is the day that more people will come to church when asked than any other day of the year. And I look at this, when God sings his song, and I begin to feel that hope, and that hope fills me up, then my hope can overflow and it can come out of my life, and this world can be touched and pointed to Jesus because he is the source of hope. And the church is the hope of the world. Why? Not because we're perfect, not because we do everything right, not because we've got it all together. The church is the hope of the world because we get our hope from Jesus, and we can show the world that hope. And they can find their hope in Jesus in the same fashion. The Bible in the book of Acts, going back to the prison scene, says that after the earthquake, the guard looked around and saw all the prisoners were gone, it seemed. And he was about ready to stab himself, kill himself with his own sword, because he knew the punishment for letting the prisoners out. And the Bible says that Paul and Silas said, hey, we're here. And you know what that guard wanted? This is the guard who had probably helped beat them bloody. What did that guard want to know? He came to Paul and Silas and he said, I want to know where you got that song. I want to know why you could sing at midnight when we'd beaten you bloody. I want to know why you could sing your song in prison. And what does Paul do? He points them to Jesus. And said, there's a reason. Folks, you want to know why you're here? That's why you're here. To let other people see you sing your song and become curious and say, how do you sing that song in this circumstance and situation? Man, the earthquake had come. The doors had opened. The prisoners had escaped. The consequences were devastating. And the guard said, what do I have to do to get that song? Wasn't the earthquake that called that guard to God? It was the song. We can sing the song and it overflows out of our lives and touches others. I want to ask you, starting on Friday, 7 o'clock, Saturday at 5 o'clock, Sunday morning, if you really want to get up early, 6 a.m., and 8:45 and 10:10 and 11:30, a relative, a friend, a coworker, somebody that needs some hope, bring them. And here's my promise to you, if you'll bring them, our staff and our volunteers will do everything we can do to provide the most creative and clear pathway to Jesus so they can find what this jailer found, hope for himself and for his family. I would suggest to you that the music didn't die February the 3rd, 1959. The music died 2,000 years ago when Jesus was put to death on the cross. But what happened? The third day, the song came alive. Perfect pitch, perfect tone, singing into every one of our hearts, hope and help. When we trust him, and that's your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for singing your song of hope into my heart. And I pray that for those who are here right now, particularly who feel their song is faded, and they feel like they're discouraged or don't understand, I pray, God, that they would be able to hear the song today, that you love them. And there's no situation that's hopeless in you. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
This has been a production of Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.